Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, Dennis and Darren go to PAX, and we share everything that we learned. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McKay.
Dennis, last weekend, we had the opportunity to do a trip for the site, something we haven't done before, something we've talked about doing before. It was,
PAX, I believe.
That's right. We went to PAX in Seattle. PAX West, if you will.
Or PAX Prime, if you are nostalgic.
So let's talk about PAX a little bit for the folks that are joining us that aren't familiar. PAX is short for the Penny Arcade Expo, and it is, I think, mostly a gamers expo.
Yeah, so Penny Arcade, when they started in 2004, said that they wanted to have a gaming conference or something like that for gamers. Not like E3, because E3 is an electronic arts sort of thing, not EA, but electronic games. They wanted something where all gamers could come together, where you have tabletop gaming, you have role-playing, you have computer games. You also have fantasy games.
Console games, all kinds of games. And
arcade games.
In fact, yes, even arcade games. And not just current, but retro as well, which is kind of interesting. So really, they did want to target all games.
Yes.
So if you haven't checked out Penny Arcade and you're not aware of what that is, also, Penny Arcade is an online webcomic about gamers or maybe gamer nerds.
It's kind of about everything these days, but they try to keep within the gaming genre. I still remember, I used to follow Penny Arcade a long, long time ago, and I've kind of not lately because they've gone a little off the deep end, kind of like what South Park does.
Yeah.
But some of their classic cartoons were really quite funny. You remember when Quake 3 came out, they had a test version, a demo version?
Oh, yeah.
So they released it out for the Apple first, and Penny Arcade kind of made fun of that. So we have three characters. And he goes, "Hey, neighbor, I've been playing Quake 3 Test since it came out. I hope you guys will have enough machine to run it. Look, Chuck, I'm running a P3 and got hardware acceleration. It's like a tiny god." This was quite a while ago, by the way.
Right?
He goes, "Really? Mine's great. See ya." And he runs off. They were making fun of the fact that iMac people, who are notoriously devoid of games, were able to play Quake 3 before us users of tiny gods of the PC world.
We'll have to link to that, but it's safe to say that Penny Arcade, the cartoon, is, I guess, a celebration of geek culture.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Which I think is really probably an accurate description of PAX.
So if you're planning on going to PAX, what is it that you need? Because there is a reason that we spent, 12 years of not being able to go.
Well, I think the first thing is that PAX has gotten really large. Now, PAX is kind of in our backyard here because PAX West is in Seattle, and it hasn't always been in Seattle. But, you know, they've been there for some time. The biggest challenge, though, is always trying to get tickets because PAX does tend to sell out. And it sells out fast.
Yeah, like in an hour.
I think 8 minutes was what somebody told me.
Yeah.
So PAX is 4 days long if you do the entire experience. And it's done over Labor Day weekend. So Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So we had hoped over the years to try to find a way to justify getting some press passes to this. But it isn't really in our wheelhouse. Close, but not exactly right.
Well, so even on the PAX website, they say it's not an event for media.
Right. So it's very difficult to get in without, of course, you know, having booth space or, I don't know, maybe if you're very involved in the gaming industry. But to get tickets, you actually have to know when the tickets go on sale.
Which is difficult unless you are on their Twitter and watching it every day.
Because they announce it relatively shortly before it goes online. So you do kind of have to be paying attention and follow it. And then you have to get yourself in a queue to buy tickets. So you're actually in a waiting list, and then they open the waiting list, and then it immediately sells out, and then you throw things, and then you see what's left, which is what I did.
So the interesting thing about that whole process is it reminds me of buying concert tickets to some AAA artist that might be coming into town in a limited venue.
Oh my gosh, what a circus. It literally sold out so fast that by the time I got on, the 4 day passes were gone. Shock.
Yeah.
The Friday and Saturday passes were already sold out also.
And that is insane because somebody that's buying the 4 day pass, those are limited, obviously, so they're going to go quick. Friday and Saturday seem like the wrong days to go. Like Sunday seems like the day to go, especially with Monday being a holiday.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, we were able to get tickets to Sunday. And even up till, well, till we left, you could still get tickets to Monday. I don't think they ever sold out.
No, not for Monday.
Now, that doesn't surprise me because our experience with like CES, for example, we know that the last day of the event, there's not really much freebies left. And a lot of the vendors are packing up and going home before the event is even over.
Yeah, a lot of the marketing folks take off. They are not there for that last day. And the same thing at Computex. They open up the show to the general public, so it's not the day to go.
So if you want to go to Penny Arcade, and there's more than one, you can go east or south or some other parts of the world if you're...
Australia.
Australia, for example. Then you need to subscribe to their Facebooks and Twitters and just be ready for when they announce the tickets are going on sale, because it really is very short notice. Like, I only knew the day before.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we were only able to get Sunday tickets. Only for one day.
Yeah. Well, we talked about Monday, but it just doesn't make sense to come in and try to do Monday and then try to come back again, flight-wise, work-wise, etc. Yeah. So anyway, we did go for Sunday, and we decided to make a day of it. So we got up.
Oh, yeah. So the show opens at 10 in the morning, unless you wanted to get onto the convention floor, and then it's at 9:30.
Right.
But from the way that I was judging the line and the way that the line snaked around, people were lining up way before that.
So this is probably the first big tip that we did not get as first-time attendees, and we probably should have gotten, is that if you don't go early, then, well, you're screwed. So let me give you an idea of this line, because it was amazing to me, and I've done some pretty major events in my time.
Wait, hold on. I think you're kind of sugarcoating this a little bit here.
Okay.
So the line was not small.
No, it was definitely large and wide and deep.
And something like that. I'm trying to keep it PG here, by the
way. Sure. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So as we were leaving the hotel, we were walking down some road that goes to the Washington State Convention Center. This is where PAX is actually held. And this year they had it in 7 different locations. And each of them had a line, by the way.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Wow.
Yeah. So we went directly to the main convention center, and we passed one of the buildings that I thought originally was where some of the theaters were.
Right.
Turns out it was the second entrance.
Crazy long.
And that was the one that had like 10 people across, and then it went from the door around the corner and down the street.
Like 2 blocks.
Yeah, we didn't go 2 blocks, but it was quite a ways. And then I spotted another one that said PAX Q, and I'm like, hey, that's the one we need to go to, because there wasn't anyone in it, for one.
So we thought,
yeah. So we go and get into this line, and it wraps around the back part of the convention center.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like Disneyland, because you had to go in and go around and go up the escalators and up more escalators and then around.
We hadn't even got to that part yet. But it is. It's a lot like that. So yeah, we get in this line, then we go around the building in through the valet at the bottom, and then we go through the doors, and then all of a sudden it was like TSA all over again. So we go in, and there's this huge line of metal detectors and crazy guys are really angry at us because we're gamers and searching everything we had.
The bags, they were not amused.
No. Everybody had a bag though. That was what was kind of weird. So,
and not even that. Everybody had a backpack except for me. I blew that one.
Yeah, you had a shoulder bag. Yeah.
Note to self, if you're going to go to PAX, take a backpack.
Take a backpack. Try not to pack it with old clothes because they don't like that.
They don't like anything in the bag. Take an empty bag.
Yeah. So we get through the metal detector, and then that's where Disneyland started. So we go and grab a really informative booklet that had everything that was on the website, which I thought was weird, and a map.
Hey, and it's nice.
It's nice. And then we got a lanyard for our badge, which the badges were nice. I have one right here. Plastic. It's not necessarily laminated, but it's plastic, and supposedly it has an RFID in the middle of it because you got to scan it at different spots.
How often did someone ask you to see the badge?
Absolutely none.
Oh, only one time for me, which I thought was odd, but do continue.
Okay, so we get in, and then we get all of our stuff, and then we go up an escalator, and then we go up another escalator, and then we go up another escalator, and at that point, we ran into some security folks that are saying, go that way.
Go that way.
And I'm like, okay, so there's some double doors. There's 3 sets of double doors. I'm like, we're going to walk through the doors. No, there's some security guys there. I say, no, go outside. So now we're going out to the smoker section at the top floor of the convention center, which is actually at the same level as some of the highways. Kind of odd, right?
It is odd, actually.
Yeah. So then we're walking down and then we're getting shoved into an area where all of a sudden everybody, well, I don't know, everybody was there. It was like a whole bunch of people.
It was like all of Seattle.
We started to congregate into a big round area where we're supposed to listen to an enforcer who didn't talk to us. And then all of a sudden the line just started moving. And that was three people across and we went down.
I'm sure it was wider than that.
Well, for our area was three across.
All right.
I think. Maybe it was four. Oh, no, it was a lot. So as we're walking down, we walk away from the convention center. And I'm like going, where the heck are we going? And then we make a turn. And then we're going under a roadway. I'm like, okay, are we going somewhere? And then we make another turn. And then we start seeing PAX people. And there was like three girls that were trying to encourage us saying, what were they saying? Just remember you paid for a ticket or something like that.
Our PAX enforcers were cheering for us.
Yes, yes.
You're almost there.
Oh, and then they were saying,
choose a buddy point.
Yeah, if you have children, choose a buddy point.
Stay hydrated.
They didn't say that
part. Eat chicken. I don't know. Lots of stuff.
Well, you could eat barbecue. That was on the top floor. Mm-hmm. Oh, so then we walk back the same distance we walked out, and then we go through another set of double doors, and then we're in. And how long did that take? It was like 25 minutes.
It was a lot longer than I expected, although it was a pretty steady move.
It was. But everybody in that line, you know, we showed up right at 10 or 9:30 or something like that.
I think it was pretty close to 9:30.
Everybody in that line, that was probably close to 600 people, I would guess.
Well, at least.
At least.
And that's just the ones we saw. I mean, there may have been more before the line started moving.
Yeah, that's true. And then we get in there, and then all of a sudden, it reminded me a whole lot of CES.
Yes.
Everybody was just standing around and making it so you couldn't move anywhere.
And right in the front door was Alienware, causing a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then right through the doors was Borderlands 3.
Yes. And one thing I noticed in the line as we were walking, you know, people had backpacks, and they had chairs.
Oh, yeah, that was very interesting.
Yeah, so they had these chairs. There were these, tripod chairs or pagoda chairs?
Yeah, little three-legged chairs.
Yeah, they're small.
So we saw a lot of those. In fact, I even commented that it was sort of silly that everybody had the chairs, and boy, was I mistaken.
Yeah, so we go to Borderlands 3 because, of course, we are interested. And there was already a line from the point where you enter the booth, around the corner, around the corner, around the corner, around the corner, back to where the line started.
Where there was an enforcer kindly telling people that the queue was full and you would have to come back later.
Yeah.
Already.
Already. And we decided, well, maybe we'll just come back later and check it out. And all the while, everybody was in the booth playing the game, and they had some special viewings that were in the middle. I think it was like a movie thing you could go and see. But that was very common at a lot of the AAA title booths, where you could go around and you could demo a game, but you had to wait in line. And it wasn't like a short line either.
So we were interested in Borderlands 3, so we asked a couple of times how long the line was, and they quoted 2 hours at one point, 3 hours at one point. Mm-hmm. And in fact, later in the day when we came by, exasperated that the line was always full, I heard the guy tell another person that the line moves about every 20 minutes, and they let about 6 or 8 people into the line about every 20 minutes.
And that's insane. And explains why people were bringing chairs.
Yes.
Because
and
you go
little
to
handhelds.
Yeah. Because you go to PAX and you unfurl your chair and you sit down and play your handheld while you're getting ready to get in and play another game.
I want to really stress that in case you missed it. 2 to 3 hours to play Borderlands. And it was the longest line. Well, I don't know. There was a Final Fantasy that was pretty dang long, too.
Oh, yeah. And then Monster Hunter was pretty big.
Monster Hunter, pretty big, too. Yeah, those were probably the three huge ones, though.
There were some indie ones that had a line, but it was like maybe 5 people. But they only had 2 consoles to play on, so you might wait there for a while.
Well, the Nintendo area had a pretty big line, but there were 5 or 6 demos in that area. And we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Well, we're in the show now, so now we're, again, we didn't know what to expect. We hadn't been there before, so we just started looking around.
Yeah, and we thought this was, I mean, from our experience with other shows, kind of what you do. All right, well, Borderlands is full, so let's go see what there is to see. And I think what we didn't realize is that pretty much everyone else was go find something and get in line.
Yeah.
And so by the time we'd kind of seen just that area, and I think Dennis is kind of maybe glazed over the fact that there are seven buildings and up to six floors in each building. By the time we'd seen just this floor, every line was maxed out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So again, if you're going to go to PAX, my main piece of advice is if there's something you want to see, like Borderlands 3, get your butt into the line early and get your butt into the queue early and just check it off your list, because the odds are pretty high that you will never be able to get back in that line if that title is hot.
Yeah. Which then begs the question, why did you buy a PAX ticket?
I think we should talk about that, but first let's talk about what else we saw.
Oh, yes. So We're rolling around. Let's see. The Borderlands was on the main floor.
And right inside. I mean, it was truly the hot ticket.
Yeah, it was. And then there was a walking path, or a walking bridge, I guess, that connected to the other side of the convention hall. And over in the walking bridge, there was a bunch of vendors that were selling magic stuff.
I thought this was kind of interesting because this was a trend during the entire show. It didn't seem to matter what the theme is for the area. In this case, it was video games, and they were highly console-based, although not entirely. But there were still games mixed into it. Clank, for example, which is a board game I really love, had a space in the middle of the video gaming floor. A big space.
Big space.
And the same with this. As you're talking about, they had magic pads and cards, and then there were lots of dice and game aid booths kind of scattered throughout the thing. Mm-hmm. I really resisted dice. Really resisted.
Oh, they had some, what was it, the Damascus steel dice.
Oh my
dice.
Gosh, best dice I saw. If you wanted to help the site out, you could send me a set of Damascus dice. I would be forever grateful because they are awesome and expensive.
The thing that caught my eye there was in the center of that walking path was a vendor who was selling game pads. Basically, it was a big mouse mat.
Yeah.
Custom graphics on it. And they said that if you had a picture that you wanted, you could send them the picture, they would put it on a mouse mat and then send it back to you. Or if there was one that wasn't in the size available there, you could order it and they would send it to you when you got home.
And they had a lot of different sizes, all the way from traditional mouse pads to full desk mouse pads to full tabletop pads, although they didn't have any of those on display. We're talking like 6x9 mouse pad services.
Yeah.
That Cover was your whole table. Wow. Yeah.
On the other side of that walking path, we got into the indie gaming section. And that was interesting because there was a mix of vendors that were selling board games. And then there was a mix of just, hey, we made a game last week. Come check it out sort of thing.
Well, this was interesting because the booths were much smaller. Oh, so yeah. The queues were much smaller or non-existent. Mm-hmm. So if your timing is right, you could play some of these games. And a lot of them were just demos or just videos. And everybody had a card or a code. Codes through our Facebook or whatever.
Yeah. I got one card from Deceive Inc., and I went to go check out the game because I thought it was kind of cool. They had absolutely nothing available, which I thought was weird because they had a game there. They spent a whole lot of time, money, and effort on their booth.
Multiplayer stealth heist game. If you're interested, then yeah, maybe worth a check out.
Yeah, but don't go to their Twitter or Facebook because that's all that's available, because they don't have a link to their website to have any of that demo content available.
Someday, maybe.
Someday.
But it was interesting. They're probably not alone in that. They were just probably the biggest game that we took an interest in, that if you didn't get a chance to play the demo, there was nothing. There was really nothing.
Speaking of, let's see, that was on the fourth floor of the Washington State Convention Center. From that side, we could go down, because we were on the other side at the secret entrance.
Yes.
We could go down one level, and that was where the Bring Your Own Computer LAN party was.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a four-day LAN party at PAX.
And they had machines available, so if you didn't want to pack your machine, you could put yourself on a wait list to use a Lenovo machine. But we did see something cool there. At least we stopped and watched a tournament.
Yeah, Minecraft tournament.
So I think
freaking cool, actually.
That was pretty neat. And I was really curious as to how you would have a Minecraft tournament. Was it player versus player is what we initially thought it might be. And it turned out to be they had a custom map built for PAX that was a treasure hunt or a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. So there was, I don't know, there's a wall with a whole bunch of item frames. And in Minecraft, when you collect an item, you can put it in an item frame and store it forever. So like if you make a shovel, you can put it in there and it looks like a guitar. If you have a pickaxe, you can put it in there. So the idea that I gathered from watching the tournament, watching people play it, was that you load up into this map and then you go on a treasure hunt. You would go and make a pickaxe. So you'd have to go and figure out how to make a pickaxe, which is stone and wood, or you could just make a wooden one. The hard one would be to find a diamond, because that means you got to go start hunting around and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that takes time, unless, of course, you find one.
Well, find one early. So then, we were just watching people scramble back and forth, and an hour into it, you know, we started watching them, and then we took off and came back. And an hour later, there was a couple of people that had half their board full of stuff.
So, of course, the game ends when the time is up, or I'm assuming when someone fills their full board, which we didn't stick around to see.
Yeah, the rules were terribly unclear, but they had official signups before PAX to play in this tournament, and then you could sign up when you got there, which I thought was pretty cool.
Lots of tournaments going all day, and in fact, they had multiple tournaments going on at the same time. That was just the one that we watched. So about every hour, another tournament was starting, if you looked at the official schedule, and it looked like, shock, every tournament had a wait list.
Yeah, everything was waiting.
Yes.
Also, so on that other wing, if we went down, you went into the classic console section.
That was cool.
You could actually check out an Atari 2600, one of the replicas, not an original, and play 2600 games.
They had every console pretty much that I could remember, even back from my early video game days, and I had a lot of them.
Oh, so what was that crazy? It was an Xbox game. I didn't realize an Xbox. That Xbox game where you had the crazy controller.
Steel Battalion, I think is what that is.
Yeah.
The Mech Warrior game has a gigantic full console controller. This was a big hit early on until I think everyone realized that you had to buy a $250 or $300 console to play. But they were playing Mech Warrior with it. They had probably a dozen machines set up. A great opportunity to check it out. In fact, Dennis and I were like, I wonder if those consoles are still expensive. But the game, I don't think, is supported by any new consoles. So
no, they had old Xbox machines, the original Xbox, which I have one of them over there in the lab. Yeah. I'm pointing off into the corner. So, oh, and then in the basement of that building was the arcade towers.
Yeah, that was cool. They had a retro arcade company brought in, I don't know, maybe a dozen retro arcade games, including some multiplayer machines with lots of different games in them. Just free to play.
Yeah, there was a young kid that was at the Asteroids machine, and he was trying to figure out how to do the hyper jump and the shooting and stuff. And he's like, every once in a while he'd move and then fire. And then he would move and then fire. I'm like, that's not how you play Asteroids.
Ah, if he only knew.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting old. But that was cool, free play. And the same with the console area. They had console tournaments going on in one room, but the free play area, there were lots of different free play areas for the different themes.
Yeah.
We're all first come, first serve, and you had a set amount of time that you could sign up for.
Yeah, that was, if you never played on a Sega Genesis, that would be kind of a cool way to get introduced to it.
Their library was impressive, honestly. Tons of games you could check out.
Yeah. So we are there for games. That's primarily what PAX is about. But there are computer hardware vendors on display there as well.
Maybe we should talk about that, because I know you were excited about seeing some vendors. Mm-hmm. And I think coming so close after CES, well, relatively close. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of the same stuff we saw before. But I know that we had hoped to see new folks, regular industry contacts, new machines, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, there wasn't any of the contacts that I knew that they were there. So obviously, it was one of those, you go take care of PAX. So they let some lackey go and man the booth at PAX. But admittedly, all they had there was a few laptops that you could play on. They had swag for sale. Some of them they gave away if you filled out a little passport card. And they were there just to have a presence. Like, for instance, Gigabyte Aris was there. They had a nice Aris booth set up. It was very reminiscent of what I'd seen at Computex and other places. Asus also had a booth where they had these different pods where you could go around and listen to so much spiel, and they would stamp your passport so you could go and sign up for a drawing that would happen later.
Very, very marketing based. I think it was my entire impression.
Yeah, they didn't show any hardware per se. They just had gamers playing on hardware, which made a lot of sense.
Well, and we saw HyperX there, and they had same spiel. I mean, you could try all their different headphones and see their products.
Oh, and you could sit in the new gamer keyboard chair, which was kind
of
cool.
Which was nice, yeah. The game of keyboards. Dun, dun, dun.
I sat on the one down in LA. It was pretty cool.
Absolutely. I think we didn't see really anything new. In fact, a lot of the builds we'd seen were the same builds that we've seen all year, which wasn't a big surprise. Some really good looking builds. But if you've seen our CES coverage, you've seen those pictures already.
Yes.
Now, there was one exception because EVGA had a, well, I guess kind of the same booth where they were giving out swag, but they were also live casting.
They were. So they had the Weekly with Jacob. So if you log into the EVGA Twitch and or YouTube channel on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific, yeah, 4 p.m. Pacific, Jacob and Michael, I can't remember his co-host name, but yeah, they have a podcast for an hour where they go and talk about stuff that happens at EVGA, sales, new products, stuff like that. And then they play games for about a half hour, and then they give away something.
Ooh, giveaways.
Giveaways are pretty awesome. So at PAX, Jacob was live streaming for the entire 4 days of PAX, and we popped in, and I was able to get on for a little bit.
Very nice. So what'd you talk about?
We talked about the vodka super cooling project that we did on the Hardware Asylum YouTube channel.
Ah, man, you're making me thirsty, but just give us a high level and then we'll send folks to check that video out.
Oh, so basically it is a water-cooled machine that we overclocked. Instead of water, we used vodka. And normally, you know, somebody would have that hooked up to a radiator. We had it hooked up to a machine that would super cool the fluid, got it down to negative 15 centigrade and was able to overclock to, what was it, 5.6 or 5.7?
Definitely check that article out. But I want to give EVGA credit because they took the time to let us get out there and talk to their audience and talk a little bit about the show.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, I got to say, hey, I was my first time at PAX. And he says, what do you think? I'm like, yeah.
It's a bit.
It is. Check it out.
So I want to maybe stop and talk about some of the stuff that we saw there. I mean, there got to be highlights, right? And I think we've been a little bit negative about the show. But it wasn't all negative. It was just incredibly busy, it was more so than we expected.
It was actually a bit overwhelming is probably the best way to put it. There was a lot to see, a lot to do, and a lot of misconceptions that we had about the show. And right now, we just talked about the video game section of it. They had an entire area for board games.
Well, I think we should talk about that because that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. So they had, I think, the most incredible thing that we didn't take advantage of because we had so little time. They had open gaming where you could check out games. And much like the video game and console sections, they had tournaments going all day long. So we ducked in and watched the tail end of a couple of tournaments. And they had Ticket to Ride. They had Root going on. They had Scythe going on, which was, I think, one of the highlights to me. And it seems so silly because, you know, we don't talk a lot about board games on this episode.
No.
But,
oh, and we had just missed a Catan tournament that was going on too.
But to me, it was really cool because these are games that I had had some real interest in that I hadn't seen in person, and they're relatively expensive. And I want to talk about their first look section too, because they had a whole section where games that were not out yet were available, including a game I was super excited about, Dune, which is a remake of a game that's been out of print for a very long time. So we actually got to see it, touch it, and I made a real effort to try and buy it, but it wasn't out yet.
Yeah, it wasn't out. That was sad. So the guy was really helpful. He was like, hey, I know we have it here.
They had a very limited number of pre-release copies. And so that was a game I was really excited about. If you're into board games, then they had a Clank game that I was very excited about. That's a legacy version, sold out. They had a couple other games we were really interested in too. But the board gaming was maybe the biggest thing we didn't take advantage of because there were opportunities to sit and play games, even these pre-release games, and there were openings. But because we had so little time with our one day, and let's face it, a board game is a pretty healthy commitment, we only just kind of eyeballed those and then moved on.
Yeah, and that was only part of what was in those buildings as well, because we had vendors that were selling the games. That was something we talked about.
Yeah.
There was a vendor there that had the gaming tables, the ones that convert.
Oh my gosh, those are so amazing and so expensive.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And then they had the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing section.
Oh yeah.
That
about that. A whole section of Dungeons & Dragons games. And they were playing a custom scenario that was designed just for the Penny Arcade Expo using Penny Arcade-themed Acquisitions Incorporated rules.
Yeah, and that was across five different rooms. Some of them were tournaments. Some of them were just free to play, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then they had there was the full-size dungeon escape room thing.
Oh, my gosh. I think the Living Dungeon thing was probably my biggest regret, that we didn't check that out until late in the day. They had a demo. a 30-minute demo, that was an hour and 45 minutes to get to.
Yeah, that was no fun.
And we just ran out of time. By then, we were talking about leaving the convention, and I had to get ready to go to the airport, and it was just too late. But this is one of the coolest things worth checking out. Apparently, they do this only at conventions, Dennis.
Yeah, and that's also amazing as well.
It did not get included in the cost. So if you're planning ahead for any of the expos where this crazy dungeon is happening, the Living Dungeon, you should check this out, because you can create your characters, you can carry them to different conventions, you can gain experience and equipment across the different conventions. So every time you play, you're a little bit stronger, assuming you survive, of course.
Yeah. Let's see. What was... Oh, there was a whole section. You know, we're getting toward the tail end of it, but there was a whole aspect of PAX that we did not take advantage of.
The metagames.
Well, that's one of them.
Oh, no, that's not where you're going.
Well, we have the metagames. We can wrap with that part.
Okay.
But no, we had the conferences.
Oh, yes. All of the different shows. And they were constant in like 9 different places. We could have gone to different panels, game shows. I don't even know. Talks, movies.
Yeah, there was just about everything. There was one of them that I wanted to attend, which was how to create an online community without toxicity. I'm like, I'm not sure that that's possible, but I would like to hear somebody talk about it.
And to give you an idea, a couple of them that I was interested in. One was science in science fiction games, how it's always wrong and what we can do.
Yeah, there was another one that was a little risque. It was like the sex scene in animated games.
Mm.
Yeah. Crazy. But metagames.
Metagames.
There was so many little side things that were going on at PAX. It was hard to know what to do and where to go to do it.
This is true. Now, as an example, when you signed up, you get your badge. And if you activate your badge, which is required to do a lot of the side stuff, then you are automatically assigned to Team Gabe or Team Tycho. Yes. Ironically, Dennis and I were opposed. So we canceled each other out.
Yeah. But let's see. So this metagame worked as a badge scan.
So you'd sign in at different locations that were loosely hidden, and hidden is maybe not the right term. They were just kind of off in different corners and nooks and crannies to encourage you to explore.
Yep.
And if you registered for 5 or more, you'd be eligible for some cool giveaways.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you were earning points for your team, but maybe more importantly, on the website, it was unlocking stories and challenges and things, which we didn't realize until relatively late in the game.
Yeah, that was something that I would have really liked to play a little bit more effectively. But I think you would have to be there more than one day, because unless you know where all the stands are, it's really hard to get around.
Yeah, and they were unleashing quests, and we saw people wandering around with scrolls where if you found such and such, you'd get a scroll and stuff. And I agree, if we had played that game, it would have taken a lot of time, but it's cool that it even happens.
Yeah. There was also the Penny Arcade Pin Traders.
Oh my gosh, crazy. Now, I'd done this at Disneyland, but it just seemed like this was out of control at PAX.
Yeah. Well, they were all over the place.
And everywhere we went.
Yeah. I'd never done the pin stuff.
Not
but you would go to a different vendor, and they have like 5 different pins there. And I guess you could trade for them or you could buy them. I'm not
yes,
sure how
that
works.
That's exactly right. Yep. So you can always trade or you can buy packs of them. And we saw people that had insane amount of pins on their backpacks, on their lanyards, everything.
Oh, yeah.
And there were limited edition pins that were only available, which I'm guessing probably have some decent value.
Yeah, I would assume so. Let's see. There was merch. Merch was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
The PAX merch where you could go get a PAX bag and PAX shirts. I saw people wearing PAX gear from previous years, so yeah. Obviously they're showing off. And I guess maybe the final thing that I didn't quite understand, but I appreciated that was there, was cosplay.
Oh my gosh. And there were cosplay contests, which in retrospect, I wish we had caught, because there were pro cosplayers there that we didn't even see.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure where they were doing the judging for that, or if it was like a popular vote sort of thing.
And it turns out that it was in one of the expo rooms, and they had scheduled judging, but of course, we were so busy chasing our tails that we did not get to any of those.
Yeah, and that was unfortunate, really, because there were some really good cosplayers out there. And it's not like cosplay at E3 where you have a booth girl or booth guy trying to attract people to that booth, because that is in the rules as illegal. They don't allow that. But there was a lot of gamer-ready style not gamer ready. There was a lot of gaming related cosplay. For instance, we found Portal Knights.
That was cool. We'll have to post that picture. Oh, I think you already did on Facebook, actually.
Yeah, I did.
You probably the best cosplay we saw that wasn't sponsored.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if they weren't sponsored, well,
that's true. Now, I think we should maybe, before we wrap up, talk about, there were a couple highlights of things that we looked at and maybe things that we purchased. I talked about a couple of board games that I was excited about, but I know you were kind of interested in this Controller Chaos, which is one of the things that you really pursued.
Oh, yeah. So there was a vendor there. Controller Chaos was the name, and they had custom controllers. And as I started looking at all these, every one of them had a different theme, a different style. And it seemed like something where you could design your own controller.
Oh, yeah. And they had some cool ones for sale with some really great themes like Suicide Squad or The Punisher or Spider-Man.
So when we got back right before the podcast, I went and checked out their website, and it really was that. You pick an Xbox One controller, and you can change custom colors. You add custom graphics, custom text. You can change the button layouts the way that the X, Y, and Z are, which really remaps it completely instead of just within every game. The one thing that they were missing was, where was my full custom where I upload a graphic? I can't do that. I have to pick within their little stock colors and stuff.
Well, I imagine you could probably reach out to them, but this is not a cheap toy. This is definitely a clear custom for you expensive solution. I think they were around $100 a pop, 120, something like that.
Yeah, well, the controller itself is close to that anyway, so I'm wondering if this is just a shell on top of that too.
Yeah, and I think what they've done is they've purchased a bunch of controllers, they've broken them down, and then they've built them or painted them even with custom colors. We didn't get a chance to talk to them because they were super busy.
Yeah.
And like everything.
Well, and it wasn't really in our wheelhouse either, so it's like, check it out, walk through, and hey, this is cool, grab a card, move on.
Well, I want to talk about, I think, maybe the only cool hardware thing that I saw, and I'm going to stretch cool a little bit. We saw a company, and I'm going to give them props here, Worldwind FX there. And this, I think, was probably the only thing that piqued me as something new that we hadn't seen before.
Well, it was completely new.
So Worldwind FX is a company that is trying to build haptic feedback. Maybe that's not even right.
Yes, that is right. It is haptics.
So in the past, I've worked with like the Butt Kicker, for example, which is a base shaker for your chair, and Rumble stuff. And we've seen the ones where you can get the vest that makes it feel like you're getting shot when you get shot, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what makes Worldwind FX different is they are trying to do heat and air feedback.
So the idea here is that as you are playing a game, the software recognizes something that's happening in that environment. So say you're playing Borderlands and you're on fire because you got shot. Well, all of a sudden, this Worldwind FX is going to start blowing hot air on you to simulate you being on fire. And another example would be in Doom, for instance. I got to play this one at the show. You shoot a rocket down a hallway, the rocket explodes, it pushes air back onto me like there was a blast from the rocket blast.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. Their demo in general impressed me. And these machines were relatively cheap. Of course, they had a show special going, so it was, I think, two for 120. So you could have one on each side of your monitor, which would probably be ideal, or one for 60. And I think that's probably going to be a little more expensive post-show. But this is definitely worth checking out. And in addition to the heat and air effects, they did LED controls similar to what you've seen with some of the other software products, where if the screen is green, then the LED lights project green.
Yeah, the Philips Hue sort of situation.
So kind of a neat, full-functioning infrastructure that I think has some potential. And if nothing else, it's something that we hadn't seen before.
Yeah, definitely.
So give them a shot. We'll put their link in the notes. And with a little luck, we'll have something to review sometime soon from them.
Yeah. So before we wrap up, we should actually do a wrap-up.
Yes, let's do.
PAX, what were your thoughts?
My thought was trying to do it in one day was ridiculous, and we should tell people that now we know better.
I would fully agree. As a media person, a person running a hardware review website, I'm a media personality. I feel as a media person, had I got that badge, I think we would have been able to see a completely different aspect of PAX.
I agree. And some of that is because the press is treated a little bit differently. You have early access to things. You can skip lines. You get to go into areas and take pictures, even if you're not taking part, which would have given us access to some areas without waiting 2 to 3 hours in line. And not that we're complaining,
No, because we actually bought the regular pass because we wanted to experience it as everybody else would.
Other impressions? If you want to do something, I've mentioned this before, dear God, get in that line as soon as possible, mm-hmm. or you will not get an opportunity, yeah. or go multiple days.
I think multiple days is the key. You need to go at least two. And that the reason I say that is because, for instance, on Sunday, there was no real big, I do this in quotes, person doing a panel. For instance, on Saturday, that was when Gearbox was talking about Borderlands 3. So in one of the theaters, we have the Gearbox CEO. What's his name? Randy Pitchford?
Yes, Randy.
He was up there talking about Borderlands 3.
And I think they had some of the voice actors.
Yeah, they had a whole, it was a big panel. It was pretty awesome.
It's probably on the internet. You can watch it now.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to attend that, you would have to have gone on Saturday. Unfortunately, the PAX folks don't post the schedule until a couple of weeks before the show starts, so you don't know when to go.
But I think it's safe to say that Saturday is the premiere day. And we now know that Monday is the light day.
Yes. So don't go on Monday, I guess.
Or go on Monday if you want to do some of the slower stuff like board games and demos.
Mm-hmm. My gut feeling of going to PAX was that I felt that I didn't need to go. And I say that because we didn't know what to expect, and the experience that we had was not so as immersive as I think somebody in the know would have gotten.
I agree. If we had targeted specific things, would we have gotten frustrated waiting in line?
Yes.
Probably.
I would not have wanted to spend 3 hours of my PAX day sitting in a line to play a game and not being able to witness the board gaming area or witness the classic console area.
I agree. So if you ignore the popular stuff and only participated in the tournaments or the board gaming session or some of the open play stuff, I think you could have had a terrific time. And had we planned on that style of endeavor, I think we would have too. But the reality is that most of the things we wanted to see, what's hot, what's new, were just slammed.
Yeah, it was. And that really speaks to the popularity of PAX, the popularity of everybody going, the 100,000 plus people that signed up to attend this event. Everybody has their own take on going to PAX, their own focus on the reason for being at PAX. And I think everybody that has gone before has already figured that out. And that's what they are there for. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2019. Thanks for listening.